I got to talk. I got to tell what I feel. I got to talk about my life as I see it.
Biggie.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan Big Mac McKinnell.
I'm not worried about work. I'm worried about robots.
On 920 The Game.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Hey, Las Vegas, let's go here on this Thursday. It is time for the Mac Attack on 920 The Game. I am your host, Ryan Big Mac McKinnell, joined across the way by the one and only, the incomparable Mark Seidel. And coming up over the next hour, we got a stacked show for you. Obviously, the trade deadline in the NBA has just passed. So it's been a football-heavy show for this week, but football's getting in the rearview mirror and the NBA is ramping up. And no clearer sign of that than the annual trade deadline madness. For that, we are bringing on LakersNation.com senior writer Trevor Lane. He's going to stop by to talk about all things Lakers, the lack of Anthony Davis landing in Southern California. LeVar Ball talked about LeBron James today. A lot of chaos in the NBA world, specifically with the Lakers. So we got Trevor Lane stopping by, as I said, senior writer of LakerNations.com, to cover that with us. And then coming up about 45 minutes, we are going to be joined by the one and only Adam Hill to preview not only tonight's Vegas Golden Knights game against the Detroit Red Wings in Detroit. He's also going to come by and talk a little UFC 234 that's going down this weekend in Australia. Main event between Robert Whittaker and Kelvin Gastelum. Co-main event between Israel Adesanya, up-and-comer, taking on the Spider, Anderson Silva. So Adam Hill from the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ESPN Las Vegas will be stopping by. But right now, it's a sprint like it always is, Mark Seidel. It feels like I got the news chasing me down. So let's get into this right off the bat before we get to the opening round. I saw this note, and I'm a little surprised. And I'll tell you what this note is. The headline is, Bob Stoops signs to the XFL Dallas franchise. He's going to be their new coach, and he's also going to be their GM. What are your initial thoughts on this? Bob Stoops, big name, man.
My initial thoughts are, big game Bob, never won a big game.
Okay.
And I mean, he's a good coach. I hope it works out for him. Yeah. He's obviously staying in the same area. You know, he coached Oklahoma forever, so he's going to be in the Dallas area. Yeah, it's, you know, you don't see very many college coaches make a transition to a professional team. Now, we've not necessarily seen college to the XFL. We've seen college to the NFL.
Right. Which is what makes this, to me at least, so surprising.
Yeah, college and the NFL are two different beasts.
And Bob Stoops is a brand. He's a name. Okay, so he didn't win the big games like you said. Right, fine. But he's arguably a bigger name and a bigger brand than anyone who played in the prior incarnation of the XFL, whatever it was, like 20 years ago, right? Like, this is a nice get for a league that I think on the surface is struggling with the idea of legitimacy, right? This XFL is coming back, and I know there's a lot of people excited about it, but there's also a lot of people that are hesitant towards it in the sense that, okay, show me something, Vince McMahon. Show me something that you're going to be a real alternative to the NFL on some level. Give me a reason to tune in. And I think on some level, Bob Stoops stamps a bit of validity there where you're like, oh, okay, well, at least from this point, it's kind of like the first hire they've done. It leaves you at least a little bit intrigued and excited about what could come down the pipeline next.
Yeah. And, you know, in the same breath, the XFL is going to be going up against the AAF, which I think is has brought a lot of legitimacy to their brand. With, you know, Bill Polian.
Well, they're tied to the NFL too, so that's huge.
So, I think it almost forces the XFL to try and go out and bring some big name, whether they be college coaches or big name players that have fizzled out in the NFL. Mm-hmm. It kind of puts a little bit of urgency behind what the XFL should be doing, what they're expected to do.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. A little bit of a surprise there, though, for me at least, to see Bob Stoops signing with the XFL, part of the new Dallas franchise. Not only is he the head coach, he is going to be the GM. Surely more news is going to come out about what the XFL is going to do. They hired a former Chargers exec to helm one of their teams. They're making moves. They're trying to make it, I think, a little more legit than the first go-around. We'll keep an eye on that, and as well as the AAF that you mentioned. That's going to be interesting. That's it kicks off this weekend, doesn't it?
Yeah, it kicks off this weekend. You can actually go down MGM Grand.
Yeah.
On Saturday, Cofield's own Chrissy Paradis will be down there.
Really?
Yeah. So she'll be down there from 3 to 5, I believe.
Very cool.
For the first couple games. So go down and hang out with her.
All right. Well, speaking of the MGM Grand tonight. Tonight at the MGM Grand out at the pool, they're going to be doing a ticket, not a giveaway, but a ticket celebration, a ticket release party for a new professional wrestling company, an upstart company called All Elite Wrestling. They're just getting their feet underneath them. They've signed WWE legend Chris Jericho, which is a big deal. They've got other guys, Cody Rhodes, the Young Bucks, some people across the indie realm, but they've started a new promotion. Here's what makes this really interesting. It is being run by the son of Shaw Khan, the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. So Tony Khan, 22-year-old son of Shaw, has full reins and full control over this new All Elite Wrestling. Are they going to be a contender against the WWE? We don't really know yet, but it's very exciting. There's a lot of money behind it. They're holding their very first event in Las Vegas, Memorial Day weekend in May, at the MGM Grand Garden Arena, which is huge if you're talking about professional wrestling. They're doing the release party tonight, and as a side note to that, tomorrow we're going to have some of the stars of All Elite Wrestling stopping by the Mac Attack. We're going to have Brandi Rhodes, Hangman Page, and a special mystery guest, the newest signee of All Elite Wrestling, is going to be stopping by the show tomorrow. You're going to find out who that is tonight at the ticket release party, but you can go down there. First come, first serve. It is open to the public. Going to have room for about 300. I talked to some people that are already down there, Mark. People are already lined up. We're talking like 5 hours before this event.
Wow.
Wrestling fans are very passionate.
Yes, they are.
I'll just leave it at that. So yeah, there you go. Programming note for tomorrow. But for right now, let's get into it. It's time for the opening round.
It's time for the opening round. Brought to you by VIP Collision.
That's right. Opening round sponsored by friends out at VIP Collision. 323 Sunpac Court. 5-star reviews on Google, 5-star reviews on Yelp. One of the best customer service experiences I've ever had in the Las Vegas Valley. If you need work done on your car, I'm telling you, VIP Collision is the place to go. You call this number, 660-0030. The number again is 660-0030. Tell them Big Mac sent you. You're going to get 10% off any of the work that you get done at VIP Collision. The address, 323 Sunpac Court. All right, it's time for the opening round, Mark Seidel. Obviously, trade deadline is upon us. Not the moves that I think maybe some people were hoping or expecting, especially if you're a Lakers fan. You know, no Anthony Davis landing in Southern California yet. But, you know, prior to that, or in the midst of the trade deadline, and coming up in about 10 minutes, we're going to be joined by LakersNations.com senior writer Trevor Lane to break that down. I want to get into something that happened, not so much about the trade deadline or like free agency happening right now, but what's going to happen here in a few months, and that is Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's going to be up for free agency. Obviously, people know this. It's going to be very interesting to see what Kevin does, where he takes his talents, to borrow a phrase from LeBron James. He hasn't talked to the media in 9 days.
Yeah.
Or he hadn't until last night. He is essentially, we know Kevin, he's a sensitive guy, right? So he does finally speak to the media last night after 10 days of essentially a media blackout. Why? We weren't really sure. People were trying to get answers as to why. Steve Kerr had come out and essentially said, you know, he'll speak when he's ready. I don't want to speak for Anthony, but, you know, he's going through some stuff. Now wouldn't be the best time to talk to him. That was before the game last night. After the game, Kevin Durant spoke. Apparently, he was upset with the Athletic's Ethan Strauss, who, now, the article's behind a paywall, so I didn't get to read the article, but I don't really think I need to, because like a good millennial, as Kevin Durant is, as we are, uh-huh, I have a feeling all he needed to do was see the headline, and the headline was, Silent Star on the Presumed Warriors Exit of Kevin Durant. Obviously, Kevin didn't like that. So when he hit the media last night, he hit the media last night. This is Kevin Durant claiming he doesn't care. He just wants to ball. Listen to this, and then we'll talk about it coming up. This is Kevin Durant last night.
Kevin, the free agency thing really hadn't been that much of a discussion coming to you, because we got it loud and clear, at least most of us should have, that it was off limits. Don't go there.
What's the problem now?
No, just that you've been quiet and you're not usually quiet. You usually share your opinions and stuff. So everybody's like trying to figure out what's going on. And we're all getting questions from fans like, what's wrong with Kevin? I just tell him he's playing okay, but he's not talking right now.
I just don't trust none of y'all. Every time I say something, it's get twisted up and thrown out in so many different publications, try to tear me down with my words that I say. So when I don't say nothing, it's a problem. I just want to play ball. I want to go to the gym and go home. That's all. Is that a problem? All right, then.
question. Yeah, I mean, how are you playing? How's the team playing in the last couple weeks?
I'm done. You know you don't care about that.
I just asked you.
Have a good night.
Yeah, at least he said, have a good night. I feel like, but no, listen, the reporter, first of all, okay, I'm going to address it by this. I'm going to address it by two things. The first part is Kevin Durant saying he doesn't care and he just wants to play ball. Okay, we know that's not true. In the sense that you care more than anyone cares.
Yeah, because you made burner accounts on Twitter, and you've proven over the past couple of years you care a lot more about what people think about you and what people say about you than the average professional athlete.
100%. And that was my listen, that's nothing, it's never going to escape him.
No,
that's one of those things that I feel like is going to be like Adam Gase's eyes. Like there's just some things that you can't escape that are a part of your history. Sorry, Adam Gase. I'm sorry, Kevin Durant. Both of these stories are going to live with you forever, because that's just the way the world works and the sports world works.
Yep.
Kevin Durant could do himself a real service here by truly not caring. Not just saying you don't care. It's like usually, you know, when people say they don't care, it's usually the people who care the most.
Yes.
I don't care. Oh, I don't care about nothing.
I don't care what people think about me.
Yes, you do.
You obviously do.
Because you said it.
Yeah.
You said it. You're already thinking about it. We know Durant does, because he's got the history with the burner accounts. You're a 200 millionaire, however much money he has.
Yeah.
Multi-millionaire. You could have a yacht. You could be out doing crazy adventurous things in the offseason, but you chose not to. You chose to make a burner account and sit there and read people's comments about you that are eggs that literally have no meaning.
But I do get where he's coming from. Most of these guys just want to go play the sport they love. You know, most guys, they just want to go out and play basketball or play football or play baseball. But when you get to the level that these guys are at, that's what you're signing up for. You know, you're going to, yes, you can play the game you love and you can make a lot of money, but you also, part of your job is to speak to the media after games and answer sometimes questions that you don't want to answer. When he left Russell Westbrook, you know, people wanted to know why. People wanted to know what that relationship was like. And, you know, whether you think that people deserve an answer to that or not.
You got to know what's coming.
You have to know what's coming, and that's part of your job as a professional athlete.
100%. 100%. Like, this is not new for Kevin Durant. I think that's a great example you bring up with Russell Westbrook. There was a ton of drama surrounding that departure.
Yep.
You're used to this, and you're coming back a few years later saying, I don't trust none of y'all. All you want to do is twist my words. No, what all they want to do, and as a sports writer, and as someone who's done that job and does that job, you just want your story that you've been assigned. You don't really care what that story is. Yes, you're always looking for an angle, but it doesn't need to be a negative angle. People aren't there always looking for negative stories. This happens to be a negative story.
Yeah.
You're also making it a negative story, this free agency. You could address it and say, listen, it's been a hell of a run with this team. Obviously, a lot is up in the air considering my departure. I don't know exactly what I'm going to do yet. I want to focus on this season, and we'll worry about the summer when the summer is here.
Yeah.
That is such an easy answer.
Exactly.
Instead, you want to do the martyr thing and come out here and be like, everyone hates me and twisting my words and the whole thing is against me. No, Kevin, the whole world is not against you. First of all, I love you, Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
I think you are one of the most exciting players to ever step foot on the hardwood. One bar none. Going back to Texas, this kid has been a joy to watch ever since he came across my radar. I wish the Supersonics would have still catch him and Seattle was, cheering him on, because that would have been a great melding of talent and city. But, you know, my point is again, you said these are the expectations that are met from you. This isn't outside the realm of possibility. You know what it is when you signed up for it, and yet you keep coming back and having these sound bites and these comments of, I don't care, I just want to play ball. It's not true. You care so much. You're reading these articles. You're looking at headlines. You're getting pissed off at the media. You're wasting your time.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, you are on the most dominant NBA team I've seen in 20 years, so you probably do have some extra free time on your hands, but
of course.
It is a little concerning for at least as a fan to sit and watch him constantly come out and do stuff like this rather than just enjoy the dominance that you're running through right now. You're a part of one of the greatest teams in NBA history.
Yeah,
focus on that. Troll people.
It's easier said than done, and you know I understand that.
Yeah.
It's easy for us to sit behind a microphone. To not be, you know, to be able to walk down a street and not have 100 people run up to you, to be able to walk into your job and not have 100 different people asking you questions. It's easy for us to say, do your job.
Yeah.
Okay. But in the same breath, it is that has to wear on you eventually.
Sure, especially with the way that Durant's been at the forefront of the limelight for so long.
Like, it's easy for me to sit here and say, I don't read Twitter comments. It doesn't bother me if somebody tweets me and says, "Man, Mark, you suck on the radio." It's whatever. But when you get to the point, if I had 1,000 people
right
tweeting me
like a Kevin Durant,
you are the worst radio host I've ever heard in my life, eventually that's going to wear on you.
All right, so speaking of wearing on us, LeVar Ball, he's been relatively silent this year. I'm gonna pivot from Durant to Ball, LeBron and Durant, however you want to look at that, Lakers and all that good stuff. He's been relatively silent this year. Whether it's the LeBron factor, we don't really know. But as a trade deadline neared today, LeVar Ball went on a media tour. And he was on with Skip and Shannon. And I want you to hear this back and forth between him and Shannon. And more importantly, I want you to hear what LeVar Ball said about LeBron James. Uh-oh.
Is somebody going to play?
We doing good. Because we close in age. We got a lot of the same. Mm-hmm. But then you ruined it by talking about Lonzo is better than LeBron. You know that's not true. You know that.
Why?
What you mean, why?
Why? Because LeBron been in the league for 15 years? I mean, how do you judge LeBron being better than my son? I ain't going to say nobody better than my son.
It's okay if it's the truth.
But if my son can play, which I know what I put into him.
We're not saying he can't play.
As far as shooting and passing and playing and running, LeBron hurt. He getting old. He getting old.
LeVar.
He getting old.
LeVar.
I tell you this, he can't go Alonzo on that fast break.
LeVar.
Can't move that fast.
The guy's shooting 23% from the free throw line.
He can shoot 10%.
40% from the free throw line. How can he be better than the GOAT?
You talking about percentage of shooting on free throws?
Okay.
Don't tell me about no free throws.
Okay, what about
he been in the league for a long time. What was LeBron shooting from the free throw line?
Like 16%.
I can tell you what. He been in the league a long time not be able to make no free throws.
He shot 40%.
He ain't got to shoot 40%.
He ain't never shot 20% from the three-point line.
He ain't got to shoot 20%.
Okay.
Man, I hope for Lonzo's sake that LeBron doesn't pay attention to any of this. I hope he sits with blinders on and, wow. One and only LeVar Ball. He's been relatively silent throughout this season, but he spoke today. We have a great person to come up to talk a little LeVar Ball and a little Lakers and a lot of the NBA trade deadline. The one and only Trevor Lane from LakersNation.com, senior writer, a man who has been covering the team for a very long time and has great insight. He will be joining the Mac Attack next. Keep it locked.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan McKinnell on 920 The Game.
All right, joining the Mac Attack right now on 920 The Game. He is the senior writer for LakersNation.com, Trevor Lane. Trevor, thanks for giving us a couple minutes, man. We really appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. Anytime.
So I found out yesterday, which is great, not only are you on the Lakers beat and it's the madness of, this trade deadline, which is now ended, but it was also your birthday. So happy birthday to you. Nice chaos for you for these next for the last 24 hours.
Absolutely. Plenty to talk about on my birthday. I'll take it. Take my mind off of getting another year older, that's for sure.
There you go. So, yeah, you're right. We do have plenty to talk about, and time is limited, so let's get right into it. The first thing I want to talk about is something we just talked about on the show before we went to break, and that is LeVar Ball. He came out again today. The guy's been relatively quiet by LeVar Ball standards, right, for this season. And then he comes out today, and he just says a bunch of crazy stuff. He goes directly at LeBron. He says Lonzo's better than LeBron. He said, he said a lot of crazy stuff. My point is how do you think this is going to affect the team? Is it going to affect the team at all?
I don't think it will. Everybody was worried that it was going to affect the team last year. And last year, he actually was saying a lot of crazy stuff all the time. And he's been really quiet this season. And I don't know if that's the LeBron factor. I don't know if maybe the Lakers had a little talk with him. Nobody's really said much about that. And nobody seems to be willing to reveal that. But for whatever reason, he hasn't been talking much this year, but he was saying crazy stuff throughout a good chunk of last year, and the guys just kind of played through it. Once they got used to it and they understood that it's not Lonzo's opinion, it's not Lonzo saying those things, and they got to see how different Lonzo Ball is compared to his dad, they really are complete opposites. They just kind of ignored it. You just tune it out. And, it's no coincidence that LeVar was speaking out right here, right at the trade deadline. He doesn't want to see Lonzo anywhere else. That's important for their brand. He doesn't want him to go to New Orleans or anything like that. He wants him in the spotlight in Los Angeles. So he was doing what he could to make sure that the status quo remained the same and Lonzo Ball stayed a Los Angeles Laker. And I don't think that really had any bearing on the trade negotiations or anything, but you know, he did what he was going to do, and then they're going to move on from here.
Here with LakersNation.com senior writer Trevor Lane. You can find him on Twitter, Trevor_Lane. We talk about the rest of the team and LeBron tuning out Lonzo, right? Or excuse me, LeVar. Does Lonzo do that? Because you talk about him being polar opposites. We never hear Lonzo talk about his dad. I get it. It's his father, you know, respect your elders and all that. But at some point, I would expect him to say something. What's your read on that?
Yeah, I mean, they're a pretty tight-knit family and everything. So of course, he hears it. Of course, he knows what his dad wants. And he's probably going to side with his dad on most things. At least that's the way we've seen things before. But he'll stop short of criticizing anyone. Of course, he's not going to criticize LeBron or Coach Luke Walton or any of those things. He kind of plays that middle ground, and he'll try to make it known that, hey, he respects his dad and everything, but he makes his own choices and his own decisions. So Lonzo has done a remarkably good job of handling this situation. I mean, he's grown up with it, so he's kind of used to it at this point. It really hasn't affected him from what we've seen. Lonzo is very steady, very consistent. He doesn't show a whole lot of emotion or anything, so if things are affecting him, he certainly doesn't make that known.
All right, so let's pivot here. Obviously, the trade deadline is over. The Lakers don't land Anthony Davis. I guess first question is that a surprise to you? And listen, I know the last 72 hours or 48 hours have been about as chaotic as they can possibly be in Lakerland. But, I think a lot of people thought this was going to happen. It didn't happen. What's the vibe out in L.A., and what's your takeaway from no Anthony Davis here today?
Yeah, I mean, people are certainly disappointed, and I think that's to be expected. You know, when you hear about, oh, a superstar is going to be coming, and there's a guy that's pushing to get traded to the Lakers, that's potentially, you know, a top five player in this league, that's exciting, and so people are going to want to see that happen, especially with all the talks and everything. It gets built up, the fans get whipped into a frenzy. But you know, I am surprised that it didn't actually go down. I thought for sure that at some point the Pelicans, you know, cooler heads were going to prevail, and they were going to realize, you know, the Lakers are offering a ton for Anthony Davis, and realize what a huge, massive risk they're taking in waiting until next summer in the hopes that Danny Ainge is going to give them a bigger and better offer. They're basically betting on that, because if they don't get an offer at least equal to what the Lakers were offering, which was Ivica Zubac, who actually got traded today, Josh Hart, Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, KCP, plus picks, and they were going to take on the contract of Solomon Hill. If you can't get a deal done of equal value, it's going to look bad on your franchise. It's going to look bad on your general manager. So the Pelicans playing hardball with the Lakers. I thought for sure something was going to happen. Maybe today they were going to come back together and come to an agreement, because it just seemed to make too much sense for both sides. But it didn't get done, and now both sides will have to wait until the summer. And, you know, given the way things were handled on both sides, I wouldn't be surprised if there was some animosity, and maybe the Lakers don't get back in the bidding if they feel wronged in some way here.
Well, you bring up the personal nature of this, and we're here with Trevor Lane, LakersNation.com senior writer, joined here on the Mac Attack. You can find him on Twitter, Trevor_Lane. This has taken an interesting turn. There's accusations of leaks that Anthony Davis agent leaked the info about only wanting to be traded to the Lakers, and then now there's blowback around the league. Can you dissect this and explain to our listeners just what the hell is going on in Los Angeles and why this is taking such a personal turn?
Yeah, I mean, it's all a matter of perspective here, right? So you've got Clutch Sports, who is the agency of Anthony Davis, and Rich Paul being his actual agent. They made it known that, hey, Anthony Davis wants to be traded, and he would like to be traded to the Lakers. And the Pelicans pushed back against that and didn't want to be traded. It became public. We're not sure, you know, who leaked it. You know, the Clutch Sports says it was the Pelicans, but somehow the trade request got leaked. And it got out, and that's when things got messy. And the Pelicans feel like that behind the scenes, the Lakers, whether it was LeBron or via Clutch Sports, were influencing Anthony Davis. Essentially, they feel like they were tampering with him and convincing him to try to push his way out of New Orleans rather than wait until next summer at the earliest. He's not a free agent until the summer of 2020.
Right.
And then on the Lakers side of things, once they did actually present trade offers, they're frustrated that The Pelicans didn't really respond. I mean, they would just say, no, that's not enough. No, that's not enough. We need more than that. And never give a real framework for a trade that they would consider acceptable. So the Lakers wound up alienating just about all of their players by throwing them in trade discussions, and then those discussions getting leaked. So that's kind of the way it all played out, and really all parties walk away from this not feeling great about the way things went down. I know some Pelicans fans are probably celebrating that they pushed back against a big market team like the Lakers, but in the end, I don't know if anybody really came out the better for it. We'll have to wait and see what happens this summer. But, yeah, certainly a dramatic turn here in the NBA, which isn't all that surprising because it's a dramatic league already.
That it is. And one of the men at the center of that drama for good and bad, a guy, a polarizing figure, and if not the greatest player of all time, one of the greatest players of all time. It's him or Jordan in a lot of people's books, and obviously I'm talking about LeBron James. LeBron did media today and ahead of the All-Star game. He's obviously one of the All-Star game captains across the way from Giannis, and that's going to be going down this weekend. But he was asked, basically, you know, on the heels of this trade deadline and his expectations for the Lakers, he essentially, and I'm paraphrasing here, came out and said that he has nothing left to prove. So, first of all, I thought that was an interesting quote, you know, coming at his age, still relatively in his prime, to a team like the Los Angeles Lakers, in a city like Los Angeles where the Lakers reign supreme, and you're saying you have nothing left to prove. First of all, do you believe him? Do you believe LeBron James believes that he has nothing left to prove?
No, I don't think so. He's a competitor. He's going to want to prove himself at every stop, especially now that he's got people doubting him after he suffered his first major injury. But it almost feels like he's kind of hedging his bets here, because if you look at the standings, there's a decent chance that the Lakers don't make the playoffs. That's very possible. Yeah. The Kings just picked up Harrison Barnes, and you know the Clippers are right now sitting in the eighth seed. So, you know, if LeBron's taking that slant on things, it could just be kind of setting things up for, hey, if we don't make the playoffs, well, you know, that wasn't a determining factor here in me coming to Los Angeles. I've already proved everything. I don't need to prove anything to anyone. I was looking forward to the challenge. You can kind of see where that's going. So could be that he's kind of reading between the lines and sees the struggle they're going to have ahead of him, and it's just kind of paving the way for handling what could be some difficult questions if they don't make the playoffs.
All right, so that was going to be my second question, the difficult questions, the things that are going to be lobbed at LeBron, not only by the media but by the fans. That would be, how do you think that comment is going to sit in a city like Los Angeles with a franchise like the Los Angeles Lakers?
I mean, it's not going to sit well. Obviously, the you know, citizens of Los Angeles and Lakers fans around the world are expecting this team back in the playoffs. They were expecting to be in contention, and if you look at this, they were. They were the fourth seed before they started getting just ruined by injuries. They've had 11 total games this season where they've had a full team. So there's some real reason behind this, and it's not just, you know, the team is bad or anything like that. But bottom line, if they don't make the playoffs, there's going to be a lot of questions. There's going to be a lot of finger pointing. But just like in every other stop, I believe that not as much of the blame is going to be shouldered by LeBron. Unfortunately, I think a lot of it is going to fall on the shoulders of Luke Walton.
All right. This is with Trevor Lane right now, LakersNation.com senior writer. Find him on Twitter, Trevor_Lane. All right. Last thing here, Trevor, before we get you out of here. The Lakers didn't land anybody today, and there were some trades in the Western Conference, but the real earth-shattering moves happened in the Eastern Conference. What many people, and I saw on Twitter, yourself called, and I agree, it's an arms race. Milwaukee made moves. Philly made moves. Toronto made moves, landing Marc Gasol today. Who do you think came on the best end of that, and how exciting is it to see the Eastern Conference, at least as a basketball fan, getting back in the mix here and making some things happen?
Well, first of all, I got to mention the Lakers did land somebody today. They got the superstar shooter Mike Muscala.
Oh.
We can't overlook that.
Apologies. Yes, Mike Muscala in Los Angeles and Michael Beasley on the way out. Actually, yeah. Before you answer that question about the Eastern Conference, do you have any? And the reason I guess Beasley was shipped out is because he got into it with Luke Walton. What did you hear about that?
Yeah, I mean, that was I don't know if that was the reason why he was shipped out or anything like that. I think that. It made a lot of sense to part ways with him and find a shooter. But, you know, I thought a lot was made out of that whole situation. It got blown out of proportion. This is the kind of thing that happens on NBA teams when you're in the dog days of the season and the pressure of the trade deadline's coming and then you lose a tough game. That's, I don't know, I was kind of expecting something like this to happen at some point. and now is as good a time as any for it to happen. So Beasley didn't seem upset by it. Luke seemed fine with it. Maybe there was more going on behind the scenes, but from what I've heard, I haven't seen anything to suggest that that's why Beasley got traded today.
All right, so back to the Eastern Conference. Of those teams, Milwaukee, Philly, Toronto, Toronto lands Gasol. It's interesting in the Eastern Conference. Who do you think came out the best with this arms race in the Eastern Conference heading into the trade deadline?
Man, it's exciting, and from a Lakers perspective, you got to be happy to see players going east for a change instead of coming west.
Right.
But I really like what Toronto did with Marc Gasol. I think they got a heck of a deal there for a guy who's a very good player. Obviously, he's on a big contract and everything, but he's a guy who can really help them. He can step out and shoot. He's still probably one of, if not the best, passing big men in the NBA. He isn't the defender that he once was or anything, but he's the kind of guy that can really step things up in the playoffs. So I like what Toronto did a lot. I think that's going to make them probably one of the top teams in the East to deal with, maybe the top team. But, I don't want to overlook Nikola Mirotic with the Bucks. That's a great fit there,
yeah,
too. And then even Tobias Harris, I think, is underrated. I love all these moves that they've made in the Eastern Conference. And, I think we can say that for right now, the Eastern Conference playoffs may be more exciting than the Western Conference playoffs, and that's the first time we've been able to say that in, gosh, I can't even remember how many years at this point.
Man, Trevor, great stuff as always. Really appreciate you giving us a few minutes. Enjoy this calmness and this levity now that the trade deadline is over. Maybe grab a piece of cake for your birthday, man. Happy birthday.
I'm planning on it. Thank you very much, and thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Trevor. That was Trevor Lane, LakersNation.com senior writer. You can find him on Twitter, Trevor_Lane. All right, when we come back, we are going to be joined by the one and only, the incomparable, Adam Hill from the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ESPN Las Vegas. He's going to talk a little VGK in Detroit going down here in a couple hours in Detroit. We're going to touch a little bit on this weekend's UFC fight card, UFC 234, going down in Australia. Mac Attack, be back in a couple minutes.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan McKinnell on 920 The Game.
All right, back here in the studio, we got two-thirds of the highest-weighted show in radio history. Myself, got across the way, Adam Hill, one-quarter, one-third? I'm terrible at fractions, of Cofield & Company on ESPN Las Vegas and Las Vegas Review-Journal. How you doing?
I was good.
Okay.
I'm having some real issues
then
here.
Then you came in here?
No, I'm having some real issues. I feel like the lady poured my drink incorrectly.
Okay.
At the coffee place, and
all right.
I'm not happy because there's like almond milk sitting at the bottom of my cold brew.
I'm holding it. I'm looking at it. It's a little chunky.
Yeah.
I don't drink coffee.
Yeah.
I don't drink cold coffee, but I've gotten coffee for people.
Yeah.
And every time I got them, a cold brew was like never mixed together the way it was supposed to be.
Well, she put the almond milk in first.
Is that supposed to be like halfway through or something like that?
Yeah. Well, also, and it's like you put the ice on it and it all cools and congeals, yeah?
Yeah. It just didn't make any sense to me. And then I was like, as she's making it, I just wanted to be like,
you're doing it wrong.
Why are you doing it? But I was like, you know what? She's the barista. I guess I'm like, she's a professional. When I worked at Subway, I don't want people telling me how to be a sandwich artist.
Would JVT have made that rookie mistake?
Well, I think he would have done it on purpose when he worked there. Yeah, but it's ruined my whole last 20 minutes.
I like how I start the show and it's like an hour and I feel like it's a race, like a not a marathon.
And then
Adam comes on, I was like, dude, I got to talk about VGK in Detroit and I want to talk about UFC 234. And Adam's like, dude, the barista.
No, let's go cold brew.
She killed my cold brew.
There's clearly just a layer of almond milk sitting at the bottom. Like, what are we doing?
Are you going to shut up and finish it?
Why are you drinking almond milk? Why don't you get real milk?
Oh, it's delicious.
I'm with him. I actually like almond milk. I make my hot chocolate with almond milk.
Almond milk is better than real milk?
Kinda.
No, it's not.
I mean, for my gut, it is. Treats me better.
Well, if you're lactose intolerant, okay, I can understand
that. I'm not even
that.
I'm just, I don't know. I like it. What can I say?
I feel like it's a
smoother.
It's like saying Dr. Perky is better than Dr. Pepper, you know?
Hey, don't besmirch Dr. Perky, even though I've never heard of Dr. Perky.
Some of us are very sophisticated. We don't have...
Yeah, see, it's a refined palate, Adam Hill.
Grew up in North Carolina, or wherever you were.
All right, so what do you want...
Michigan.
What do you want to lead with sports-wise? You want to talk VGK or you want to talk 234 first?
I mean,
we'll
at
let
this
you
point...
Does it
this
doesn't
point,
even matter.
At this point, I mean, the almond milk thing is going to ruin everything anyway, so just do whatever you're going to do.
All right, well, let's... let's lead with VGK. We'll get to 234 after. Obviously, a huge win the other night in Tampa Bay. Tampa is nearly an impossible team to beat at home. VGK goes out there, gets the job done. They got Detroit tonight. It's good to probably have some momentum after a four-game losing streak.
Yeah, I think it could go both ways. I think what you want to do is try to use the momentum, build into tonight's game, because really when you go on an extended trip, and you know this is a four-game trip coming out of the break.
Yeah.
Essentially, your goal is to get however many games you have, you want that many points. You want, you know, 1 point per game is what you want. Obviously, you want to go 4-0, but the realistic right. expectation is get 4 points out of a four-game trip. They lost the first two, and then you're going to Tampa. You kind of chalk that up as a loss, so you're in a terrible spot, but you go in there and get the win. It's unexpected. You didn't, you know, especially when you fall down 2-0, you come back. So now what you want to do is you don't want to get comfortable and be like, well, we got that win against Tampa. That was huge. You want to say, hey, we can still accomplish that goal of 4 points on this trip. So you want to go into tonight really kind of desperate to get those 4 points. That would be a really successful trip, especially coming off of a long break, out of two losses before the break and everything else. And what you don't want to have happen is congratulate yourself and celebrate and be happy that you got a win against Tampa, because I think that win was big on so many levels. But you don't want to celebrate it and say, hey, we got what we wanted. We got that win over Tampa. We showed that we can beat the elite teams in this league. You want to stay driven and stay motivated and try to make sure you get two more points out of tonight's game. And, you know, that's the direction that I'm sure the team is hoping to go in. You don't want to just give those 2 points back. And so it does become a pretty big game tonight.
Yeah, interesting side note going on tonight in Detroit. Oscar Lindbergh in place of the darling of December, Brandon Peary, who is been pointless for the last few games. He's definitely slowed down. Adam, is there concern there?
Clock struck midnight on Cinderella.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a – listen, I like Brandon Peary a lot. Mm-hmm. I like him as a player. I like what he can do. I like what he brings to the team, because he is just a purely offensive-minded guy, and I don't think there's a whole lot of those guys on this team, and I think you do need him. And I think on that third line – he could be, you know, when they use him and when they need to plug him in, that's a guy that you want to, you know, that you think you can build something around on the third line, because the third line hasn't been productive all year on the offensive end. So I think he fit in well there. But listen, this is a guy who's well traveled. He's been on a lot of teams. If you remember, my strong thought when he was having that issue of, hey, he's at 7 games, he's at 8 games, he's at 9. If he plays 10, he's on the roster the rest of the year. So, you know, what are you going to do with him? I thought at that point they should have absolutely done whatever they could to try to trade him. Now, people met that with, what are you talking about? The guy's scoring every single game. This is crazy. Right? That was very out of the ordinary. That was very out of character for what he is.
For
he is
a, the he is a past good player. 8 years, right.
Right. So, right. So, like, did you think all of a sudden this guy at 27 is going to be a goal-per-night guy and put up, you know, 70 goals? That was the pace he was on. That was crazy. And he was the talk of the league. People were going nuts about him. I thought they should have tried to see, maybe they did behind the scenes, try to see what they could have got for him. But in the end, he's kind of, you know, as I said, it's Cinderella and it's after midnight and, you know, he's back to a pumpkin. Is that how the analogy?
I feel like you're onto something. Yeah. I think it's fair.
You know, I was going with a good analogy and then I forgot what the actual story was in Cinderella. But yeah, I mean, I think that's where he is right now. So, you know, Brandon Peary, he was doing other things. He's a guy who is a goal scorer. He's always been a goal scorer. That's what he's done. It's what he's always been. Now, in order to earn the playing time on this team, he was doing other things. He was contributing defensively. He was helping out in other ways. He was playing a little bit more physical. He's still doing some of those things, but he just has not been productive at all. And if Brandon Peary is not productive, if he's not giving you a goal, if he's not giving you an assist, at least, you know, giving you opportunities, if he's not creating chances, he really is not that valuable of a player for you. So they are caught in this spot where they, you know, they couldn't send him back down because he was being so productive. He was playing so well, but now he got to that 10 game mark. So now if you start to worry and you want to send him down because he's not doing much for you, he's going to have to try to clear waivers. So you might lose him for nothing.
All right, one more thing on the Knights before we switch over to UFC 234. Notes that the Golden Knights have scouts in attendance tonight for Philadelphia's game, presumably looking at Wayne Simmons. Do you expect the Knights to do anything before the trade deadline? And do you expect it to be involving Philly and Wayne?
Well, that was certainly a name that was out there. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, they're, as you said, they're going to look at him. I think they're going to do everything they can to look at everybody. I mean, I think...
Do they need to?
Yeah, as they're constructed right now, this is not a championship team. It's just not.
They just beat Tampa Bay at home. A lot of people think they're going to be in the Stanley Cup.
Right, they were also down 2-0, and they, you know, yeah, they came up with a way to win, and you've got to be impressed. You've got to like that win. But again, this is a team that has been very, very, very bad against the best teams in the league. That win over Tampa Bay was a bit stunning. I believe as solid underdogs, now there's been a lot of games where they've kind of flipped back and forth between favorites and underdogs. They were 1-8 before that game. Now, one of those things that tells you is they're not an underdog a lot. They're a good team because they're not an underdog very often. But in games where they're not supposed to win, they have been losing those games. They have not been good against the best teams in the league this year. So, that's concerning. They're doing a really good job building up points, and they're in a somewhat comfortable playoff position. But listen, if the season ended today, it's possible to change, certainly, but they'd start on the road at San Jose. They'd be an underdog in that series. If they win, they'd likely go play at Calgary. They'd be a big underdog in that series. So could they fight through? Yeah, but you remember last year they had home ice advantage. They were, you know, they had those first couple series to get settled in.
That's a great point.
And they could win at home where they were dominant all season last year. So they got a bunch of those games at home. Can they go on the road and win a series? Of course they can. They showed they could do that against Winnipeg. That was an impressive run, but this team just has not been the same. I do think they need firepower. You look at that first line. We talked about it. The production is so far down. The second line has been unbelievable, but they haven't got anything out of the third line. The first line production is down, and then they're allowing goals like they didn't last year. Like, this is not the same team. So, you know, you are in a position, and we talked about it. This was a team built to win in year 4 or 5. That was the goal. Right. Everything changed because of how well they played last year. But now you've got guys, you know, signed to contracts. You don't have a whole lot of flexibility. You've got a ton of guys that are just going to be a part of this. And if you're not good enough, the window is not going to be that wide open. I mean, Marc-Andre Fleury is getting older. He's mid-30s. How long is he going to be effective? So if you are in a position where you can make a move or two to really make a run for it this year, you have to do that. You have to at least think about it. And I would certainly be of the opinion that if there's anything out there to make your team better, you have to try to make that happen. That you only have so many years where you're a competitive team, where you have a chance to win. Try to make that happen.
Here with Adam Hill of the Las Vegas Review Journal and ESPN Las Vegas. All right, Adam, let's pivot to UFC 234 going down 2 day, 48 hours going on a Saturday down in Australia. It's kind of like a 2-fight card. It's a co-main and main event fight. You got Robert Whittaker taking on Kelvin Gastelum for the middleweight title. And then below in another middleweight matchup, you have Israel Adesanya, a young up-and-comer, taking on the opposite of a young up-and-comer, a legend in the Spider, Anderson Silva. First question, it feels like the co-main event is the real main event in this card, right?
I don't think there's any question. Right. Okay. If, like, you know, the Golden Knights are playing Saturday, so I'll be covering Golden Knights, not UFC this week. But the only fight that I have to watch, I will find a way. I will try to stream it, and if I can't, if it's during the game, like, hopefully that fight happens during like a period break. but if I will have to watch that fight in some way. Either go watch it later or figure out a way to make sure I see that fight. I think it's fascinating on so many levels of even the matchmaking of, you know, it's an obvious one. It's old Anderson Silva, who still has a big name, who people still look at as one of the greats of all time, against Israel Adesanya, who does the same things Anderson Silva did in his prime, but better. And he's not that accomplished yet. He's not at that level yet that Anderson Silva accomplished. But if you watch him, you're like, wow, he's doing those same things, but he has just a different level of athleticism to him. It's incredible to watch what he's able to do. So to test his skills against the guy who he clearly emulated and clearly looked up to is going to be a fascinating view. So I'm very much looking forward to that. And the fact that Israel Adesanya is a massive favorite in this fight.
Like, talk to John Murray, the Westgate, on my satellite show yesterday with Misha Tate. 4-1, he told us.
Wait, did you finally had him on?
Yeah. All it took was a week. Once I found out that I was apparently shunning John Murray, I hit him up and we had him on within 6 days.
All he's ever, like, you know.
He never said that to me.
All he's ever asked is, can I please, I want to be on that show where Misha's on. I mean, well, it was, you know, you're on it
too, with the
I
one guess. Ryan. Yeah, yeah, no, Ryan McKinnell, definitely. Not like, Misha Tate.
Can Ryan set that up so I can talk to Misha? So I'm glad that he finally made that happen.
Yes, he finally talked to Misha. But no, he mentioned it. I mean, 4-1, that is.
That's figuring out. It's. I mean,
really?
Silva is 4-1 as a dog coming back, but Adesanya is up to about -650, -700 right now.
That listen, I'm as high on Israel Adesanya as anyone. 15-0, as you said, great history in kickboxing. The kid is, not a kid, the man is outstanding. Like you said, a young version of Spider. Don't care. Minus 650, and I do think Israel is going to win. That's a huge number against a guy like Anderson Silva, who, let's be honest, I mean, there's definitely been a decline, right? And we don't know about the PED past, and there's all that. But at some level, he's still Anderson Silva. Minus 650?
Yeah. Well, and I don't think the price is that unjustified.
Like, right.
I think that probably is about the right price. Now, if I was betting it, I would probably have to take Silva just on principle.
Right. Well, I'm surprised that the public is that aware of how good Israel is because he doesn't have that name. So yeah. That I am surprised it's that large. I agree with you. It probably should be, I would say, more like plus 450, but still, it's close. But I am surprised the public is that aware. I am.
Yeah. And, you know, I think in MMA betting, it's a little different. Like, it's almost all sharp. There's so little public money that's really out there, especially here in Vegas for a card that's going to be taking place in Australia. You know, so the numbers are a bit sharper than you would expect in this world. But yeah, Israel Adesanya is phenomenal. And by the way, if you haven't seen him,
oh my God,
like, his fighting style is incredibly fun. But he's also he will beat the hell out of you and then tell you about it, and he will talk so much leading up to it. He is on the verge of being a breakout star, and if he does to Anderson Silva what a lot of us think he's going to do to Anderson Silva, he is going to be a massive star coming out of this weekend.
Yeah, because you know ESPN's going to want to put him up there with that new deal. I mean, this guy is very much, maybe it's a little hyperbolic, but a Nigerian Conor McGregor. He's got a lot of charisma, a lot of flair. He's just a really enjoyable guy. He had a great quote from Media Day. He's like, "I'm Nigerian. I've been eating goats since I was a little kid." I mean, that was
solid.
It was a really good line. He's
really
witty.
From New Zealand.
Yeah,
He's like 21 Savage, I guess, in that he says he's from one place, born there. I don't know what's going on.
So real quick, main event, Kelvin Gastelum and Robert Whittaker. Whittaker's really making a run for himself and one of the more dominant fighters right now in the UFC. Just went through Yoel Romero twice. What's your read on this main event?
Robert Whittaker is really good. He hasn't been very active because of injuries have kind of held him up a little bit. Kelvin Gastelum is really good at middleweight. Like, I had to figure it out in my head again today, but I saw the pictures of him and I was like, God, Gastelum looks fat. And he does, but he's just more comfortable fighting there at a bigger weight where he's just been better. So I like Robert Whittaker. I think he's probably going to win the fight, but I would not be shocked at all if Kelvin Gastelum is able to land something on him. And, you know, I think this could be a really good stand-up war.
All right, Adam, great stuff as always. We appreciate it.
Anytime.
All right. As Adam Hill from the Las Vegas Review Journal, you can catch him on
this coffee.
Yeah, there you go. You can catch him on Twitter at Adam Hill LVRJ. All right. Tomorrow, as I mentioned, got a real special show for you. If you are a pro wrestling fan, make sure you tune in at around 2:30. We're going to be joined by the stars of All Elite Wrestling, Brandi Rhodes, Hangman Page, and a special mystery guest that All Elite will announce tonight at the pool at MGM Grand Garden. It's going to be 6:00. It's going to be a ticket release party. Get on down there. It is free admission. People are lining up right now. And if you miss that, you can stop by on the Mac Attack tomorrow. We'll have some of the stars in. We will chop it up and see what their plans will be going into the future. All right. We will see y'all tomorrow here on the Mac Attack, 920 The Game.